Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Pratyane Nidase Chasani Vati Paskati Devi Sakara Om Ganitamanandasya Antana Antana Salakaya Chaksu Simulatam Zenitasma Sri Guru Venama Sri Saitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Zena Kuchale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sabhantika Vansaka Kuchubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Vayavata Hare Krishna. Did you have a good day today?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. What was good? What wonderful thing happened? That's pretty good.
No bad news.
The universe didn't collapse around you. Continuing in this Yugala Gita chapter, just let's go over the sequence of verses. The gopis, they sadly, Krishna Lila Pragayanto Niya Dukena Vasaran, Navasaran, the days, Dukena. Very unhappily pass their days. We have our good days when nothing bad happens. But for the gopis, they're unhappy. But what do they do? Pragayantya, they sing loudly of Krishna Lila, the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. And this first verse again, such a nice verse actually. Sri Sukhavata Sukhudev Goswami said, Gopya Krishna Vanam Yate, Krishna has gone to the forest. Tam Anudruta Chaitasa, their minds followed him to the forest. And what did they do? Because their bodies didn't go, but their minds went. Krishna Lila Pagayanto, they chanted his pastimes. Loudly, Pragayanta, they loudly chanted his pastimes, and in that way, Ninyur Dukena Vasaran, they passed their days. But in that loudly chanting his pastime, in that, what was their unhappiness? That they were separate from him. So, due to their intensity of desire to be with him, actually they were in him, in his Kama Bhava Rupa, in the mood of always chanting about him and thinking about him. So Krishna fully manifests to someone who chants and sings and thinks about him with bhava. And that's the only way one can,
with a mood of affection.
And that's the only way one can kirtaniya sadahari, continuously chant. Because we can say, we can try to do it with our intelligence, or if we're very strong-minded, I'm going to, with the strength of my great determination, I'm going to, from now on, always chant, and on and on and on. The conditioned soul always, he will try to act by his own power, but that is not possible. This is such an exalted state, but it happens completely naturally when there is love for Krishna. So due to the gopis' love, and what is the hint of the greatness of their love, is that they were unhappily passing their days because they weren't with him. That's all it took for them to be miserable, that they weren't with Krishna. So the young girls sadly spent their days. And what did they do in their missing Krishna so deeply? They were ecstatically associating with him by chanting his glories. So then there are different 12 sets of verses. So the first one talks about Mukunda vibrates his flute and his eyebrows dance and the demigoddesses and their husbands become completely captivated. So these exalted beings, they can't understand the wonders of Krishna's compositions, but these exalted souls become completely captivated and enamored. It touches their heart. Krishna's flute playing touches their heart. And then, then the next set of verses, that not only are the exalted demigods and demigoddesses captivated, but on this very earth, the moving creatures such as the, there are three mentioned. Anyone remember?
The deers.
And one more.
Bulls.
The bulls also. They're completely captivated, and their ears cock up, and they appear like they're so stunned with the grass, unable to be chewed, because that's what cows do a lot of the day. They're grazing and looking for something to eat, and then after a while they sit down and chew a little more. But they couldn't chew, because the sound vibration of Krishna's flute captivated their consciousness so much and stunned them in ecstasy. They were like painted pictures. So those from the heavenly demigoddesses to the moving creatures on earth. And then the rivers. Those things that are inanimate also, that don't have life. So in each of these verses also, there's one part, is the first part is a description of Krishna's beauty, and the second part is how his flute playing affects these different types of living entities, because Krishna's beauty is what the gopis are focusing their consciousness on. So in this first set of verses with the demigoddesses, it's Krishna's playing his flute with his tender fingers, and he places the flute to his lips and he rests his left cheek on his left shoulder as he's playing vibrato. And then the effect of that flute playing on the demigoddesses and demigods. And then the second verse, where it describes the bulls, cows, and deers are standing in groups, captivated by the sound. The description is Krishna has a smile like a jeweled necklace, and he has the mark of Lakshmi Devi on his chest. Steady lightning. So that's also Stira Vidyut, is the goddess of fortune or steady lightning. So it's very interesting, because lightning in this world isn't steady. It just flashes in and then it's gone. And also Lakshmi Devi herself in this world is considered astiram or chanchal, always unsteady and flickering. But here, when Lakshmi is resting on Krishna's chest, then she's stira vidyut. She's lightning that has become steady. And then in the third set of verses, he is how Krishna dressed. He's dressed like in the garb of a wrestler, appearance of a wrestler, mala. Another very colorful, and he has leaves, peacock feathers, and colored minerals decorating his face. And he's playing his flute, and then the water becomes stunned by ecstasy. And the rivers stop flowing. The water's stunned by ecstasy. And they eagerly wait. All they can do is hope that the wind will bring them the dust from Krishna's lotus feet, and their waves tremble out of love. And the gopis compare the rivers to themselves because they are restrained. The rivers are restrained from going to see Krishna. And like the gopis are restrained, so therefore they say they are not very pious. Then the next set of verses is when Krishna's wandering about the cows. This is the beauty that's described about of him. They're on the mountainsides. And Krishna calls out to his cows with the flute, and the trees and creepers in the forest respond by blossoming, giving forth the blossoms and flowers and fruits that naturally are the products of the particular bodies that they are. And while he's doing this, while he's playing his flute, Gopivrinda, all the cowherd boys, they're Gita Kirti, they're chanting his glories, they're singing about him. Because why are they singing about him? Because they love him so much. And the branches of the trees, they're bending low. What a scene. And the center of the scene, Vrindavan is the stage, and it's providing the most wonderful atmosphere for Krishna,
the star,
to perform his activities, and all the supporting actors and actresses are there. But the stars of the whole drama of Krishna's Leela are Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So then, all the bees are singing loudly for him, and they're making their sound. And Krishna reciprocates with the bees by playing his flute. And then the mines, when he plays his flute, all the birds who are in the lakes, they approach Krishna. They come closer, because birds usually keep away. But these birds can't keep away from Krishna. They approach Krishna, and they close their eyes, maintaining strict silence. And they're thinking about him. And they're just like munis, or great sages. And they're deep in meditation. Isn't that funny? In the sense that Krishna's right in front of them, and they have their eyes closed, deeply meditating on Krishna. But he's right in front of them. Because they're like, the birds are considered like munis. Also, another example of something ironic like that was when Kodama Muni, when soon as Kapila Muni, his son, was born, who was the Supreme Lord, then this great sage Kodama Muni, he took sannyas and left home, and quiet, so he could meditate upon the Lord. There's different ways of approach. And then, in 12 to 13, then Krishna's with Balaram, wearing a flower garland on top of his head. He's on the slopes of the mountains. Govardhan is one of the mountains. There's little hills all over Braja. And then he plays his flute, and he has garlands all over his body. And then the clouds, who are the rivers were on the ground, were reciprocating with Krishna in one way, and the trees were reciprocating, and bees were reciprocating, the deers and bulls and cows were reciprocating in different ways. And now, how will the clouds reciprocate? They shower down flower petals or little snowflakes, and they shield him from the sun, and they thunder. They make a thundering sound in a very gentle way to accompany Krishna's flute playing, like an orchestra. Sometimes either they'll have cymbals. You ever see people play cymbals and, you know, like with the drummer can play cymbals in a way that it just makes a rippling sound or something like that. Or someone play the timpani drum. like that, so it makes a brrrr. So there's no beat, so that, but it's just making a background sound. So similarly, the thundering of the clouds made accompanied Krishna and added to, for Krishna's pleasure, very gently made their gentle thundering sound and showered flowers. They flowered showers. Either way it works. And then the gopis go to see Mother Yashoda and they glorify Krishna in a different mood, talking about how not only all the demigods, the most excellent of the demigods, the topmost demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, are completely captivated by Krishna's flute music and they become confused by its compositions, even though they're the greatest of musicians. And in this verse, there's no description of Krishna. They just, oh yes, there is. He just takes his flute to his bimba lips, his reddish lips, and then he sends forth this wonderful music, this wonderful sound vibration. And the gopis had a very interesting relationship with the flute. They were always envious of the flute because the flute always was tasting the Adha Amrita of Krishna, the nectar of Krishna's lips, and they felt they couldn't get any of that. And then we read yesterday, as Krishna strolls through Braja with his lotus petal-like feet, and he marks the ground with the emblems of the flag, the thunderbolt, the lotus, and the elephant goad, Ankut. So then there's Krishna walking. The scene is Krishna walking, and he's removing the distress of the earth. And he plays his flute, and his body moves with the grace, the movements of a slow elephant. And then Krishna glances at the gopis, they say. And then they can't move. They are shocked by Krishna's glance. And their bodies become stunned in ecstasy. And Krishna's playing his flute. And while he's playing his flute, out of the corner of his eye, he's glancing at them. And they know the flute music is meant to attract them and for their pleasure. So he captures them in this way, and they become stunned. He plays Krishna like he's playing with all living entities, like puppets in one sense. But he himself becomes a puppet in the hands of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis and especially Srimati Radharani. There's all kinds of pastimes of Krishna, wrestling pastimes with Krishna in Bandiravan, especially one of the forests. He's going to wrestle. It's arranged that he challenges Srimati Radharani to wrestle, Bhoji. And then the cowherd boys they get ready Krishna for the wrestling, and the girls, the gopis, bring out Srimati Radharani, and they bring her out. There's many different stories, but one of them is that they bring her out with her head completely covered. And they're all saying, and the cowboys are saying, you're going to win, Krishna, and the girls are saying, oh, Srimati Radharani is going to win. And then they're about to begin, and Srimati Radharani slowly picks up her veil. And she glances at Krishna out of the corner of her eye, and Krishna faints and loses immediately. It's over. 1, 2, 3. And Srimati Radharani wins. So, look, Krishna is making everyone dance. The love of the Vrindavan Vasis makes Krishna dance and makes him stunned. So now 18 and 19. Now Krishna is standing somewhere, counting his cows on a string of gems. So they're very visual. They're seeing Krishna in their mind's eye as Krishna is acting in the Vrindavan forest, and they're hearing the sound of his flute as he's entering the forest. So they're seeing Krishna, and they're far away from Krishna, but he's manifesting in this way. He's standing somewhere counting his cows on a string of gems. The string of gems is called, he has money dhara, he's holding these jewels, money or manimala. And this is what he looks like. He wears a garland of tulsi flowers that bears the fragrance of his beloved, given to him by his beloved. And he has thrown his arms over the shoulder of an affectionate boyfriend. As Krishna plays his flute and sings, so he plays his flute and he sings, but not at the same time, obviously. The music attracts the black deer's wife. So this is also a verse from the Vaino Gita. Danyam sma mudagateo api harinya eta. Harinya means the deer. Who approach that ocean of transcendental qualities. So when because deer are famous for being attracted by music. And the hunters, what they do, they would play some musical instruments, and the deer would become attracted and move closer, and then the hunter would. So the gopis were thinking that we're just like this deer, and when Krishna would see the eyes of the deer, he would be reminded of the eyes of the gopis too. So the gopis thought, we're just like the deer. Krishna, we're there in the forest, we're innocent, without doe eyes. We have no deers have no defense, they can only run away. But when the flute music comes, where can they run? It follows them. And then, when they're completely captivated by the flute music and comes closer, Krishna shoots the arrow of his glance at them, and they're completely wounded in their hearts by that arrow. That's how the gopis think of themselves. So he has thrown his arms over the shoulders of an affectionate boyfriend, and he plays his flute and sings, and the music attracts the black deer's wives, called the Krishna deer, who approach that ocean of transcendental qualities, and they just sit down beside Krishna. Just like us coward girls that have given up all hope for happiness in family life, being shot in the heart by the arrow of Krishna's glance after being attracted by his, trapped by the clever flute music that has brought us close enough to be shot by Krishna's glance. Purport. So where our hopes for happiness and family life are after being pierced in the heart by Krishna's glance, it's finished. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in the afternoon Sri Krishna dressed himself in new clothing and then went out to call the cows home. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives the following information about the transcendental cows of Vrindavan. For each of the four colors of cows, white, red, black, and yellow.
Okay. How many groups and colors?
Four.
And what were they?
White, red, black, yellow.
Okay. Four different groups of cows. This is very important information. And there are 25 subdivisions in each, making a total of 100 colors. 25 times 4 is? Very good. And such qualities as being colored like sandalwood pulp, tilak, or having a head shaped like a madanga, create 8 further groups for the cows. So there are 108 groups of cows in, according to the different subdivisions and colors. So the sandalwood pulp, you see these around Vrindavan too, the speckled like sandalwood pulp. I don't know what a madangamukhi cow looks like exactly. It must be, the heads are long and shaped like that. So there, and when he calls them, so the whole, when Krishna calls out the name of white, of a white cow, does anyone know the name of the white cow? The head white cow? Dhavali. So when Krishna calls out, "Hey, Dhavali!" a whole group of white cows comes forward. And when he calls out, "Oh, Hansi, Chandani, Ganga Mukta," and so on, the 24 other groups of white cows come. So all the different groups of white cows. Then the reddish cows are called Aruni, Kunkum, Saraswati, etc. And the blackish ones, Shamala, Dumali, Yamuna. This is the best part of giving a class when you get to do this, call out the names of the cows. And the yellowish ones, Pita, Pingala, Haritalika. Those in the group with tilak marks on the forehead are called Chitrita, Chitra Tilak, Dirga Tilak, and Tiryak Tilak. Tiryak means bird. I don't know what it looks like, bird tilak. Because there's all kinds of different markings they have on their forehead. And when you read the descriptions of the cowherd man and Krishna, how they deal with the cows, it's touching, because then they're not cattle farmers. Their business is goraksha. What does goraksha mean? Cow protection. Actually, in the original Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada translated when it was published, but the editor changed from goraksha, cow protection, to cattle raising, cattle farming or something like that. And naturally Prabhupada didn't like that very much, because it's completely different, because cow protection is what the cowherd men do. And they have very intimate and loving relationships with the cows. And because they love the cows, they actually love the cows. They love the cows, and therefore the cows reciprocate by giving milk. They don't love the cows as a business, part of the business, so that the cows will give more milk, because you can't love because you get more out of the person. That's not love, obviously. But they actually just love the cows. There's this one sadhu in Vrindavan, an old man, very old sadhu, and he, every night before he goes to sleep, he has a big goshala. He goes and says goodnight to each one of the cows. Oh. And by the name, he says goodnight, this one. And he goes to the next one. Every night, late at night. Why? Because he loves the cows.
Some villages will feel like the cows have, they don't stay outside, they are taken inside the doors.
Yeah.
And they have got that room where they know every evening they come into the door.
Yeah.
We still have in our villages.
Yeah.
They come into the door, and on the side they have got their own room, and so they go into that.
Yeah. Bengal is also like that. They have, in Bengal the houses have walls around them, the same thing. So, but they don't stay inside so much, but they come in the compound, and the cows, they just come back by themselves at night. They let them out to graze. There's free pasture. And then at night they come home. They're like members of the family. and they give milk, and then when the calves are brought there, they're out of their affection, they're treated with so much love and respect, and they're fed nicely and cared for so nicely, and then the calves are brought, and then they give milk, and they drop the milk because of their affection for the calves, and the calves can only drink a certain amount if the way that the cow is been made by Krishna, if the calf drank all the milk, he would die, because there's so much more milk than any calf can drink. And the story made healthy. And even Mother Yasoda used to call Krishna, oh Vatsa, calf, out of affection. Do you call Satya, oh Vatsa, oh calf? Doesn't quite work in Ivrit. Yeah. Where's Vatsa? Oh, Vatsa! Oh, Vatsa!
Vatsa means son also.
Yeah?
Mm. But the calves here don't get any milk.
Oh, we don't want to talk about them. What their fate isn't very. And so the point I was actually trying to make was that when you drink that kind of cow milk that's produced out of the affection of the mother of the cow for the calf, that cow milk is nourishing on all different levels, and it's the perfect food. It nourishes because it's affection, it's liquefied affection of a cow. And that food is so nourishing. Not when they take the calves away and then they stick a machine on the cow and then it pumps it out and everything like that, and they fill the cow with antibiotics and hormones to make them produce more, and then we don't want to go on with the story, but. That's cattle raising and the industry. It's an industry, but this is what you said is something different. It's the cow as a part of the family. They still have those villages in the village in where you're from. It's like that still. Something different. And then the cow, the dung is used for fuel, and the cow urine is used for, it's medicinal, good for the liver, etc. So, those in the group with tilak marks on the forehead are called chitrika, chitra tilak, dirga tilak, and Tiryak Tilak. And there are also groups known as Madangamukhi, Singamukhi. What is Singamukhi? So the cows has a different shape than Madangas. Some of them have shapes like lions on their heads. Thus being called by name, the cows are coming forward, and Krishna, thinking that when it is time to bring them back from the forest, none of them should be forgotten, is counting them on his manimala. This is on his jewel. Just like we chant on our japamala, 108 beads, Krishna chants on his japamala, his manimala, jewel beads, 108 groups of cows. So in this way, he can tell if all of them are accounted for. So all of his 900,000 cows come back. He calls them all by name. So just imagine what it would be like when Krishna calls your name. And you're a cow. And I always think that there'd be some cows who wouldn't come back immediately because they would want Krishna to call his name, their name again. Because the sound of, because Krishna calls them with such love. And when he was young, he used to kiss the calves. And Mother Yasoda would be in so much anxiety because he'd be afraid he'd get sick or some disease. But he would kiss the calves and massage them. When he was taking the calves out, he would massage them. He would rub them. He would milk them. He would put a golden pot between his legs and sit down and milk the cows. And therefore, because the relationship was so strong and it was so affectionate, when Krishna would call them, they would come. And when Krishna would say, go left, they would go left. And when he would say, go right. And in Vrindavan, you can still hear this. I only really heard it one time, one or two times. By the Yamuna, the cowherd boys, when they're herding the cows, they make these sounds that the cows can understand. But it doesn't. It's not like it's like a special language that they speak to the cows, that they start saying when they're really young. Can you do it? When you were young, huh? You can do it now? You're too shy, or but they can say hee hee hee. They make different kinds of sounds. And the cows recognize those sounds and they turn left or they turn right because of the relationship they have with them. And Krishna used to carry a stick, but he would never hit the cows with the stick. But sometimes you have to show the stick. Because the cows otherwise. And in Vrindavan you also see this, that these little children, you can't they're like this big, even smaller than Dhruva. They herd big buffaloes and cows, and the cows are completely obedient to them. They're only this big and the cows are huge. Would you like to be a cowherd boy? Why? So much fun. Maybe just about that size. They'd go out and they have a stick, and they're not at all mental about it. That's their thing. They're calling the cows and they're holding their stick, and the cows are completely obedient, and the kids aren't at all thinking, oh, is the cow going to listen to me? Maybe he's going to. They're so strong minded. Have you seen this?
In you?
Yeah? Oh. You've seen this kind of thing? Little children, this big, so small. And the cows are so big.
There are like hundreds of cows, it's not like one or two.
Yeah. And a few little children.
We used to chase after the cows by evening, the cow does not come home.
Yeah.
Because the opposite house had cow. And at 4 or 5 o'clock, they don't come, then the lady used to. Old lady used to send us go and find the cow. So we used to run around, and when we found the cow, we all had a stick in our hand and run after.
Yeah.
The cow used to run really fast.
Yeah.
And she knew where the house was and get into the door.
And she knew our time was up. She had it was time to come home. And it's so much fun for boys to do that. So Prabhupada always used to talk about village life. Of course, there's hardness in the living, and once you're used to city life with all the electricity and just you push the button and your clothes get washed and you just flick the light switch and the lights go on and etc. You pull out a machine to vacuum the floor flick the heater when it's cold, flick the heater when it's hot. And, you can't go from there to living in a village. It just doesn't, very rarely someone can do that. But, because we're so addicted to machines and things like that. Prabhupada tells the story of this one man, a fisherman. It was late at night and he didn't have anywhere to stay, so he had his basket of fish. Not fish, but the fish basket with him that he used to catch the fish. So he asked someone if he could spend the night in the house. So he said yes, but you can't bring the fish basket in because it smells so bad. So the man was trying. So a man came inside and he left the basket outside, and then everyone in the house went to sleep. And then the next morning they woke up and he wasn't there. The fisherman wasn't there. And he was outside, went next to his basket, and they said, "How come you didn't sleep inside last night?" Mm. He said, "I couldn't sleep without that smell." So Prabhupada said, "That's like you Americans. You can't sleep without a machine." A machine. He used to tease. Oh, he used to, you know, a machine to brush your teeth. A machine to. Etc. So many machines. Machines for everything.
They make your bread. They make your rice. They make everything.
Yeah, there's a machine that makes rice. Bread, toast,
pasta.
Huh? Pasta. Oh, that I haven't seen, a pasta machine. Where do you get one? I need one. How can I make pasta? Anyway, village life, Prabhupada glorified it so much. Simple living, high thinking, a phrase that seems to have come from Gandhi also. Gandhi was very good like that. He talked about a Gita Nagari, a villages where the Gita is sung. So Prabhupada actually said that. Where you could just live a simpler life. Because we forget what the cost is in our life. You know, we think it's so easy. All you do is flip the switch and everything starts happening, but you have to pay for it in other ways. You forget how much, you know, you have to get a job so you can pay for the machine and then pay for the electric bills and then pay for the this and pay for the that. And you have to, you know, go, you know, half hour, an hour to work every day and then half hour, an hour back to work from work. And you just sit behind a desk all day long and your back aches and your eyes ache because you're sitting in front of a computer. And so that's also and then you have to get the petrol and the car and the insurance and the registration and this tax and that tax and the fees for this and fares for that and how much is the air tax again? The breathing tax? They don't have that one yet. They haven't figured that one out yet, have they? But it looks like Melbourne especially was famous for its water. That you just turn on the tap and the water is so good. But now you have to pay for your water. No one could conceive of that. You know, 30 years ago, that you'd be buying water by the liter to drink. No one could conceive of that. So it's just a matter of time before it happens with the air too, right? Everyone's going to have to walk around with bottles of air. And then so you can get a breath and you know. And would you like some Himalayan fresh air? You like strawberry air today? If you want to have shops that have just air shops, like you fill up your cars, you fill up your lungs. You like strawberry air, and you'll think, "Wow, this is great, strawberry air." and then you could think you're in somewhere far different than you are, which is terrible, where you can't breathe the air even because the pollution is so bad.
I had so much water in Melbourne in the 70s, it was illegal to have a rainwater tank.
Really?
To have a rainwater tank. That's all I have in Melbourne. In fact, we never had a rainwater tank because it was illegal. As long as you buy the scheme, I had so much water, they wanted you to buy it.
And now it's quite different, I would presume.
Now we're on ration.
Yeah. And no one would think that perhaps we're doing something wrong. And that there's not enough rain like there used to be. And that was not even that long ago. It wasn't like hundreds and hundreds of years. So much water. And now, and 3 years ago even, all the governments, the Howard government and the what was that fellow's name, who was the president of the United States? Can't even remember. No. Okay. But they were saying there's no such thing as global warming, and we have our tests and prove it, and we have our scientists that we've paid, and they say there's no such thing as global warming, and they're so shameless that they could just change it around. you know, in 1 year, then we have to really be careful and monitor this, and so that the global warming, the same people who are shameless, they're shameless. Shameless liars. So. In the park?
Your government's water levels.
Oh, really?
And you do it every 2 years, and you said that they were sent a chart and an email, and they worked for the government taking readings of water levels.
So low this year.
It's going low, and they've got a chart saying that by the year 2100 there won't be any water left.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be desert here completely. So. Wow. It's going steadily down. Yeah.
You want to stay around? what would you like? What kind of a birth would you like next? So that so you could. Don't be a frog. There won't be any water for you. What kind of? That's what Prabhupada used to say. Just get out. Lose your life and get out. So in any case. Thus being called by name, the cows are coming forward, and Krishna, thinking that when it's time to bring them back from as far as none should be forgotten, is counting them on his jewel beak, his mani mala. What a nice scene, yes? Mm-hmm. Cows are very regulated by nature. Let's see what Prabhupada says about this. I described it here in the Krishna book. My dear friends, when Krishna returned home with his cows, the footprints of the soles of his feet with flag, thunderbolt, trident, and lotus flower relieve the pain the earth feels when the cows traverse it. He walks in a stride which is so attractive, and he carries his flute. Just by looking at him, we become desirous to enjoy his company. At that time, our movements cease. That was yesterday's verse. We become like trees and stand perfectly still, unaware that our hair and clothing are loosened. Chris had many thousands of cows, and they were divided into groups according to their color. They were also differently named according to color. And when Krishna were prepared to return from the pasturing ground, he would gather all the cows. As Vaishnavas count 108 beads, which represent the 108 individual gopis, so Krishna would also count on 108 beads to count the different groups of cows. When Krishna returns, he is garlanded with tulsi leaves. A gopi described him to a friend. He puts his hand on the shoulder of a coward boyfriend and begins to blow his transcendental flute. The wives of the black deer become enchanted upon hearing the vibration of his flute, which resembles the vibration of the... Anyone know? Veena. The deer come to Krishna and become so charmed that they stand still, forgetting their homes, forgetting their husbands, like us, who are enchanted by the ocean of the transcendental qualities of Krishna. The she-deer become enchanted by the vibration of his flute. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes?
Interestingly, because it's meditating on Krishna calling the cows to return, it wouldn't be something that they would ever put in the face.
Sometimes they would wander out and find excuses to be around. They have to gather some wood or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna, would go to the forest And that his excuse would be he's cowherd boy, being taking care of the cows, but also he would go there and when he would see the deer, he would think of the gopis. Mm-hmm. And they would hear the flute and think of him, and they would go out. So these are the transcendental loving pastimes of Prajna. They have nothing to do with the material world. Pure love. But that's always said. That's always said because they cut the earth with their hard hoofs. It's described like that. So we don't think of that as hurting the earth. Just like when we pull a branch of a tree down, we don't think it is causing the tree any pain. But the earth is conscious, and the tree is conscious. So we don't know what it's like for the tree, and we don't know what it's like for the earth. Like when they drill for oil, how do you like it when the dentist puts a drill into you? So it's not very pleasant for the earth, it appears, because the earth is a personality. Bhumi Devi was an expansion of Satyabhauma. It was Krishna's Bhushakti.
Is there any reference that the other cowherd boys who go also have their separate coats?
Yeah.
Because this is only non-monogamous coats, 900,000, whatever. But they will also be having, other people in the town must be having.
Everyone had this.
Yeah.
So what would happen, there is a special reference when it comes to the calves. And it's the same with the cows. But when Krishna was, when they would take out the calves of all the boys, each boy, there were thousands of boys, and each boy had thousands of cows. So they would come out like streams of water.
From their area, homes or something.
Well, they would, first of all, they would come out of their individual homes and form a big herd.
Mm.
They would mingle together during the day, and then when they would bring them back, they would all, like streams going the other way. Everyone knew where their own homes were. Did you used to see that? That there would be different cows from different homes together, and then it was time to go home, they'd go on their own place?
Not in each person goes to herd the cow. There's a cowherd person whom they pay, basically. And because each house would have two cows, three cows. So they all meet in the center of the village.
Yeah.
And so in the morning, if you see early, like 7, 8 o'clock, there are like hundreds of cows in the center.
Yeah.
And then cowherd boys, once all the cows come in, they take them in different direction every day for grass.
For grazing.
Yeah. And in
Govcharan.
In the meantime, yeah. They come back in the center of the village, that spot, and then everybody goes to there.
Okay, are they brought to their home or they?
No, cows automatically. Once they come to the center,
then
the cows know how to get home. Mm-hmm.
I remember also in Govardhan, in Ashwamoorthi house,
she
had 11 cows. And we were at her place one afternoon, and around 5 o'clock there was a knock on the door.
Yeah.
And she opened the door, and 11 cows just came in by themselves. And it's every day like that.
Who knocked? The cows?
The
I guess the doorbell wasn't working.
In the evening when the cow comes back home, and if the door is closed, they move so that the owner knows the cow is back.
Yeah.
And she opens the door from inside and the cow comes in.
Dhruv, you know how to make, you know what sound the cow makes? That's more calf maybe. Mmm-ma. 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 They have different sounds though. Yes. When they're hungry, they let you know.
Usually there is plenty in the house as well as outside, so whenever hungry, I think. They were looked after very well, and we don't special.
No buffaloes in that village? In Bengal and in South India, there's more cows. In North India, moist.
It's drier, isn't it? It's a problem in North India.
Different gunas of people.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. The people have different modes. They think they don't know the difference between if you drink cow milk, one thing happens. And if you drink buffalo milk.
In our area, cow milk is cheaper. People don't want it. They only want buffalo milk.
Because
it's more clean. It's heavier, thicker. As against the cow milk. They don't want cow milk.
Yeah.
They don't know about it.
Yeah. But Krishna also had buffalo and I think for yogurt. Upananda. I think. Funny how just talking about this kind of thing fills them with happiness.
I saw the cows this morning on the dairy farm from the milk. It's very auspicious. Maybe that's why I had a smooth day. I started seeing the cows.
Where do you go?
It's a farm in Byford, near Byford.
How far? I don't know where.
About 40 minutes from Kalamunda. Down south. Sort of, you say south, southeast part of the city. Just on the edge of Perth, Byford, little town.
And how much milk did you get?
7 liters.
70. Each time you get 70.
Oh, it depends. I've done most of it, not in 200 or something. The restaurant was open, I was getting some of the restaurant as well. The cows were out there this morning, and their little pens and in the hay, and one of them came out to greet me when I arrived.
I will, Yaro.
I went up and patted it, and they got a chill on it.
Have they increased the price for us?
No. It's more than I get from the dairy, because you pay like $1.30 in the shop and they only get 28 cents. That's why you can't do it economically without slaughtering them at the price they get.
Soul killing civilization.
Yeah. So they get 50 cents. They get 50 cents from us, but they only get 28 cents from dairy.
Mm-hmm. They should be happy.
Oh yeah, no, they're happy. It's also tax free.
Yeah.
Cash. Cash deal. Top of books.
Company
in Arepa,
28 cents. Eh?
Yeah. So you pay $1.20 in your shop, and no, it's not going to the far farmer.
The dairy industry. In the Radhadesh temple, the cows that they have near there, they're the most ugliest things you've ever seen. They look more like pigs, and they're angry and frightened, and because
are they cattle kind of
breed? Yeah, but they're horrible. They look like they were farmers.
They had that. I think it in New Govardhan, they had the wrong type of cow.
Yeah,
one of the sort of bred as a cattle.
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
So. And they resemble dairy cows from them.
Yeah.
They change variety.
Yeah.
The cows in the West, in America, they they are from sort of, you know, pigs and things. And they resemble more like pigs. They have no horns, and they have no hump, you see.
And they don't have that.
Yeah, even the
that flesh to that.
Yeah.
So, not the ones that are so small, they're very beautiful.
And the quality of their milk is not good, also. Good ones.
Okay, I guess. So what's going on with the restaurant, by the way? Any, is it moving forward at all?
Yeah, yes, it's still a couple of months away.
Yeah.
It's been, they go.